for last week dealing with Thanksgiving, and it had nothing to do with the day of Thanksgiving or the holiday of Thanksgiving or turkey or cranberry sauce or stuffing or all those things. It had to do just with giving thanks to God, Thanksgiving, what that means. You know, we're a people who are very forgetful. We are a very forgetful people. God has done so much for us, and oftentimes we forget about all that God has done for us. So this is what I'm going to be sharing on. It's called Thanksgiving. Again, nothing to do with turkey or anything else, but with the need that we have to give thanksgiving to God. There's an old Jewish story about a man who goes to a rabbi and he complains. And he says, "Rabbi, life is unbearable. There are 9 of us that are living in one room. What can I do?" And the rabbi answers, "Take your goat into the room with you." And the man was really skeptical, but the rabbi insisted, "Do as I say and then come back in a week." So a week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than before. "Rabbi, we can't stand it," he tells the rabbi. "The goat is filthy. It's disgusting." Well, the rabbi tells him, "Go home and let the goat out, and then come back to me in a week." The radiant man returns to the rabbi a week later, exclaiming, "Rabbi, Rabbi, life is so beautiful. Life is so beautiful. We enjoy every minute now that there's no goat, only the 9 of us." You know, the situation was the same as it was at the first, but now his perception had changed. He realized that he was blessed to begin with. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17, starting at verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And we read, Luke 17, 11. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Yeshua traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at the feet of Yeshua and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Yeshua asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan?' Then he said to them, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" In this passage of Scripture, there were 10 lepers who met Yeshua, and they had a life-changing encounter. And when you break this story down into its simplest elements, it describes every believer, every one of us. We were outcasts from the kingdom of God on our way to certain death, but then we had a life-changing encounter with Yeshua. While we should never look back at the pleasures of sin, we should never forget where the Lord had brought us. In Isaiah 51, verse 1, we read, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug." In other words, look at where God has brought you from. We all need to remember, where has God brought us from? Remember as well, what has God done for you? Don't forget, what has He done? Visit again and in your mind the place where you first met the Lord and His mercy and His grace shined upon you. However, what's so significant about these lepers who were healed is that out of these 10 lepers, only one returned to give thanks to God. There were 9 who didn't take the time to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." If you were to infer the truth of the story on general humanity, we could say that 9 out of 10 people really never stop, never pause to give thanks to God for what they have. And I believe that's true. 9 out of 10 of us never stop to give thanks and glory to God what He's done for us. Keep in mind that these are only suggestions, but they reveal a whole lot about the human nature. It's so true. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Yeshua later. One decided that he really never had leprosy to begin with. One said that he would have gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priest. One said, "Oh, well, Yeshua really didn't do anything." One said, "You know, any rabbi could have done it." One said, "I was already doing much better." And then there was one who returned to God to give thanks. And which one are you? Of these 10, which one are you? Are you or would you be the one who returned to the Lord and fell on your knees and gave thanksgiving to Him for what He did for you? Now, there are several truths about this passage that I hope will cause us to truly give thanks to God for what He's done for us. You know, many of us have heard stories or horror stories about having leprosy in biblical times. It was a terrible disease to have. Not only was there the pain of the disease itself, but there was a stigma that went with having this disease. And the law of Moses and the Torah had pronounced a leper as being unclean. And in the days and times of Yeshua, lepers were unclean and you could not be in contact with them. You couldn't touch them. You had to stay away from them. They were not to enter into the tabernacle or later the temple to worship. They could no longer live with their families, but the Torah required that they would even live outside of the city or outside of the camp. The Torah required that they would rend their clothes or tear their clothes as a sign of extreme sorrow, that their faces were to be covered and that they would go around crying out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Whenever anyone came close to them, their faces were hidden, representing that they could know no form of intimacy, have no relation with anyone anymore. In Hebrew tradition, the face was seen as being the most intimate part. You know, that's not the way it is today. In the society we live in today, with such immorality and impurity and ungodliness, it's other areas of the body which is seen to be the most intimate, but in Hebrew it was the face that was the most intimate, because you could look into the face, you could look into the eyes, and you can see into the soul of that person, and you could see upon them either the glory of God or you could see the destruction of the evil one upon them. And when the Jewish people were commanded to seek the face of God, they were commanded to seek His very presence. For the same Hebrew word for face is the same word for presence. To be a leper meant that you could have no intimacy with anyone, no friendship with anyone. You were isolated. You were a total outcast. Leprosy was regarded as a disease which the Jewish people supposed to be inflicted for punishment for some particular sin. And to be more than other diseases, it was a mark of God's displeasure in your life. That God was not pleased with your life, so you came upon this leprosy. And if you were a leper, you essentially lost everything in your life. You lost your family, lost your job, you lost all your money. And in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 12, it describes these lepers as standing at a distance. They were isolated. They were away from everyone. They couldn't get close. Rabbinic tradition said they had to stand at least 100 paces from anyone else. And they could not even come close to Yeshua. All they could do was cry out from a distance, "Master, Master, heal us. Master, heal us. Master," only from a distance. And leprosy was a picture, or is a picture, of sin and what Satan wishes to do to every single one of us here in this room. In Easton's Bible Dictionary, it says leprosy was the outward and visible sign of the innermost spiritual corruption. A meat emblem in its small beginnings, its gradual spread, its eternal disfigurement, its dissolution little by little of the whole body, of that which corrupts, degrades, and defiles man's inner nature and renders him unmeet to enter into the presence of pure and a holy God. But I'm not going to equate leprosy with sin. But there are important similarities between them. Like the leper, we too are isolated from true intimacy. Like the leper, we too are outcasts from the kingdom of God. Like the leper, we too are in the process of losing everything to sin. And like the leper, we too are being destroyed by that which was in our bodies, the law of sin and death. And in Luke 17:13, as Yeshua was about to enter into the city, these lepers who had to stand at a distance, they began to cry out, "Yeshua, Master! Yeshua, Master! Have mercy on us! Have mercy on us!" And that's all they could do. They couldn't get any closer than that. No physician could heal them. No medicine could cure them. They were completely helpless before the onslaught of this deadly disease. We like to think that we are sufficient, that we're capable of handling life. But the truth is, we are born helpless into this world. Just like the beautiful new baby that we have, how helpless they come into the world. And we are helpless to stand before sin and stand before Satan. We stand condemned by sin, and we are totally helpless. Romans 5:6 says, "When we were still without strength, Messiah died for the ungodly." Thank you, Lord. In the Greek, to be without strength means to be totally helpless. Like these lepers, we were helpless to stop the destruction, the disease, that sin that was taking place in our lives. We could not help the destruction. We couldn't stop it. All we could do was cry for mercy. Cry for mercy. Lord, have mercy. And maybe some of us can remember that time and that place when we first came to the Lord in our weakness, no strength, full of sin in our lives, and all we could do was, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." You know, a good explanation of grace and mercy is that grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you deserve. These men realized that they were sinners, and whatever they had received, they deserved it. They are begging the Lord here to have compassion on them and to help them in their time of need. The only hope was placed on this man, this Messiah, this Yeshua. Everything had come down to this very moment and time and place in their lives, this encounter with this Yeshua. Aren't you glad that when your only hope is placed in Yeshua, that He will be more than enough? That Yeshua will be more than enough. Yeshua had compassion on them and told them to go and present themselves before the Kohanim, before the priests, as the law, as the Torah had commanded them. The priests would then inspect them, and the priests would give them a clean bill of health so that they could then rejoin the communities and their families and be part of society again. Why did Yeshua tell them this? Why didn't He just say, be healed, and end it there? Because faith is always required of the helpless. Faith is always required of the helpless. In the story of Naaman, the Syrian, in the book of 2 Kings, he had to act on faith to be cleansed. The story of the leper in Matthew chapter 8, who came to Yeshua, confessed faith, and that's why Yeshua healed him by just touching him. They went on by faith, and as they did, they were healed. They heard the words of the Messiah being spoken, and they believed and they were healed. This was by faith. They were healed first, and then they were told to go to the Kohanim and go to the priests. They had to act on faith, however simple that was. And in Luke 17, notice one leopard's celebration out of the 10. We're told that as they began that journey to the priests, they were cleansed or healed. What is significant is that out of these 10, there were only one who reacted differently than all the rest. Only one. The scriptures say that he saw that he was healed and that he turned back. And he glorified God. And he came to Yeshua and he gave him thanks. So why did this one act differently? Why was this one different? And here's the meat of my message this morning, or now this afternoon. There are three distinctions between him and the others. Three. Note the perception of gratitude. The Bible says one of them, when he saw that he was healed. The Bible says that he saw that he was healed. Now the others no doubt knew that they were healed. But there was something different here. The Greek word used means to know, to see, or to perceive. He took the time to note that he had been blessed, that he had been touched by God. He took the time and noticed. He probably stopped and he looked at his hands and he looked at his arms and he looked, and such gratitude just overwhelmed him that all he could do was to return to the Master and fall at his feet. That's all he could do. He realized that something wonderful had happened to him. He was sensitive to the power of the Messiah working inside of his life. His perception had totally, completely changed. Do we really perceive the ways that God has blessed us? Do we perceive that? None of us that I know of in this room is starving to death, is hungry. None of you in this room, none of us is naked. But most importantly, if you are a believer, you have been given everything through the Messiah Yeshua. Everything has been given to you. The devil will do his best to keep your mind off of the blessings of God. He'll constantly tell you how bad you have it. Of how everything is wrong in your life. You see, it's when you begin to realize how much you have in the Lord that you will truly begin to be thankful. And when you're thankful, your heart will abound with love for the Lord for all the things that He has graciously given to you. An unthankful believer is a defeated believer. If you're an unthankful believer, you're a defeated believer because you have lost your joy. And remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Secondly, note the priority of gratitude. When he saw that he was healed, he turned around. Now the Lord had given him the command to go to the Kohanim, to go to the priest. Yeshua said, go to the priest. But instead, he turned around. He delayed. He paused. And he turned around and he went back to Yeshua, the Lord. So why didn't the Lord rebuke him for this? Why didn't Yeshua say, didn't I tell you to go to the Kohanim, go to the priest? Why are you returning to me? Scriptures didn't say that Yeshua rebuked him. And the reason is because this man realized the priority of gratitude and worship. Worship needs to be of main importance. God has called his body to give glory to him above everything else. Above everything else, we need to give glory to God. This leper fully intended to obey what the Lord had told him to do so, but he realized that he had a higher calling that had to come first, that there was a priority, and that was the priority was to go to the Lord and fall at his feet and thank him and honor him. Thank you, Lord. If you don't give thanks to God, it won't be long until your obedience just becomes a job to you. You lose the meaning of what God wants you to do. You become unthankful. It's fitting and proper to give thanks and praise and honor to the Lord for what he has done in your life. Don't ever stop doing that. Let that be continual in your life. Thirdly, note the perfection of gratitude. As he drew near to where the Lord was, he glorified God. The Greek means that he made the Lord glorious in his sight. He manifested the worth of the Lord. He came to Yeshua and he fell down before him in perfect submission. And he gave him thanks. And then Yeshua asked the question, were not all 10 cleansed? Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the 9 that you were with? Where are your friends? Where are they? Then note what he told this man. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. This was something that the others just couldn't grasp. They couldn't understand. They did not realize. One scholar said that a new power was given to him that day. He had faith, not just to be healed, but many commentaries state that he had faith now to follow Yeshua. He had the faith to be a follower. All people are blessed of God, but not all follow the Messiah. This man's thankful heart responded in faith, and he was perfected as a disciple of the Lord. God can be thanked and praised regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation. This leper came back praising God despite his unresolved problems. Remember, he had lost his job. He had lost his family. He had lost his friends. He had lost his home, his community. Everything was lost, etc., etc. He still had unresolved, unsolved problems. And so can we still have unresolved issues and problems. But our priority is to come to the Lord in thanksgiving and gratitude, in praise, and fall at his knees and thank him for all that he's done for us. Focus on the belief that God is bigger than the problem and is present right now in the middle of the problem, in the center of the problem. He's there. And I want us to take a minute, take some time right now in prayer to thank God for all that he's done for you. So I just want us to pause as we conclude with this. As that leper came back, that was his priority. He fell at the footsteps, at the feet of Yeshua, and he praised him and he thanked him and he honored him. I want us as well, just take a minute now to thank God for all that he's done for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.